from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Pope Francis arrives in the Americas this weekend. First stop, Cuba. Last stop, Philadelphia. Janetta Mello and Register correspondent Victor Gaetan talk about the expectation for the Holy Father's visit to Cuba. Also, Jeanette checks in with Register writer Diana von Glahn about the growing excitement in Philadelphia for the long-awaited World Meeting of Families and papal visit. Welcome to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Elena Rodriguez, sitting in this week for Tom Price. Our editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register, Jeanette DeMello, is right here and ready for insightful conversations. Thanks for joining us, Jeanette. Our first guest is Victor Gaetan. He is a correspondent for the National Catholic Register focusing on international issues. He also writes for the Foreign Affairs magazine on religious matters. The Catholic Press Association of North America has given his articles 4 first place awards over the last 5 years, including praise for a series he wrote in 2010 on the Church in Cuba. Victor is here to talk about his expectations of Pope Francis' first pastoral trip to Cuba. Jeanette DeMello, take it away.
Victor, it's great to have you again on Register Radio.
Thank you, Jeanette.
So this time we're talking about Pope Francis in Cuba, and you did write a story in advance of Pope Francis's trip for the Register, just highlighting some expectations for what might happen during this trip. It was a good story with a jazzy title, Pope Francis will meet the Cuban cauldron, is basically what it's called. And there's a lot to talk about today as Pope Francis arrives there in Cuba for his 4-day visit. You know, it was just 3 years ago that Pope Emeritus, Pope Benedict XVI, made a pilgrimage there, and St. John Paul II had been to Cuba as well. Why is it so important for the popes to go to Cuba? Why is Cuba so important to the Church that this many popes have visited there? It's such a small place.
Well, Jeanette, we must remember that the Pope's number one role is to be a pastor and to show Christ's love for every person. Mainstream media always emphasizes politics with the Church, and especially Pope Francis's every move is looked at from a political angle.
That's true.
Is not his main role. The Catholic Church in Cuba is a suffering church. The Cuban people suffer very much under the Castro dictatorship. Cubans, we know, don't have enough food. They can't say what they think, or they might be jailed. There are no free elections in Cuba. Cubans want to travel, but it is hard to get a visa. They rely entirely on money sent by friends and relatives living abroad. So Pope Francis goes to encourage the people. Another main role for the Pope's visit is to teach and lead in the faith. The Holy Father will be giving, we know, 3 masses in 3 cities, in Havana, in Holguín, and in Santiago de Cuba. Interestingly, and one novelty, is that the Pope will bless the city of Holguín from the highest point, effectively blessing all the regular people far away from Havana and the power. Mm-hmm. His homilies and statements will be very important because catechism in Cuba has been weak over the last 56 years since the communist communists came to power. Saint John Paul, as well as Pope Benedict, Emeritus Benedict, went essentially to Cuba for the same reasons: to encourage the faithful, to show their love, and to teach the gospel.
And how do you think the Cuban people will receive Pope Francis?
I believe the Cuban people will receive Pope Francis very well. There will be a glorious reception for the Pope's visit in the 3 cities, especially because they perceive Pope Francis as the main figure who made possible the reconciliation, the diplomatic deal between the United States and and the Castro regime. It is Pope Francis who is given credit to this deal by the Cuban people. One other reason that the Cubans will be receiving Pope Francis very well, according to recent polls, he has an enormous following in Cuba nowadays. He is perceived by over 80% of Cubans.
Wow.
In a very, very positive way. And they are expecting him to,
that's
among
right.
other things, to address three major issues. To bring the gospel to the people, to implicitly to be heard by the elites, by the communist elites, to bring them back to the church, and to also address the issue of human rights and more justice that they hope will be brought to the Cubans through the Pope Francis's visit.
Yeah, so he's really being seen as a champion and an advocate. It's a very interesting and crucial role, really. What is the condition of the church in Cuba right now? How, is it a healthy church? What is its role in the Cuban society?
The Catholic Church in Cuba is the only independent authority outside the government.
Hmm.
The church is doing very positive things. Among them, I would point to the basic things, serving the people.
Sure.
The church takes care of the young, of the elderly. It brings food and medicine to the people. It organizes daycare. Also, it organizes classes, computer classes, and mm-hmm. even business courses for the young. At the same time, the church, there is a very big question. Can the Catholic Church in Cuba play more of a leadership role in demanding more freedom for the people?
Mm-hmm. So that's an outstanding question, really.
That is an outstanding question. That is a worrisome question, even.
Sure. Sure. This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Victor Gaitan, who is a foreign correspondent for the Register. He covers Cuba and many other foreign affairs. He also writes for Foreign Affairs magazine. And we're talking about the Pope's visit to Cuba. He arrived there today. And really, what are the expectations for the Pope's visit there? Victor, what do you think is the best thing that could flow from this pastoral visit?
I would wish that Pope Francis will address human rights issues in Cuba. I hope he will meet with the ladies in white, for mm-hmm. instance. The ladies in white, who are they? They are the wives and the sisters of the opponents of the regime, the men opponents of the Castro regime, who are jailed. These are ladies who meet every Sunday after the Mass in front of a beautiful church, Santa Rita Church in central Havana. They wear white as a symbol of peace, and they carry and hand gladiolas as a symbol of love. They
mm-hmm.
are beaten up. They are spattered. They are arrested. They are humiliated. Even a few days ago, so over 52 ladies in white have been arrested. I hope the Pope will meet with them. This will send a signal to the Castros that the ladies in white are protected. It will encourage the ladies in white and other opponents to continue their struggle for justice in Cuba.
Do you think there's any possibility that that might happen? If it did, where would it happen? How would that happen? Because it's not the kind of thing on an official agenda.
Well, we know that Pope Francis can surprise us. He's also quite often, if not always, well inspired, and his whole nature and what he represents would lead him in that direction. I am very hopeful that that will happen.
Well, we can pray for that. You know, Victor, in your advanced story about the Pope's trip to Cuba, you mention in that story the two other visits, the visit by Pope Benedict and the visit by Pope John Paul to Cuba, and that there were risks facing those popes and some fallout after their visits. What are the risks facing Pope Francis at this visit?
The risks are, if there are risks, is that he risks to be used by the Castro regime. Mm-hmm. The Castros, for instance, Fidel invited John Paul to Cuba when the island had lost subsidies and financial support from the Soviet Union after the fall of communism. Raul, that many years later, through Archbishop of Havana, Cardinal Ortega, did the same thing. He used Cardinal Ortega to get rid of scores of political prisoners by convincing them to accept exile off the island in 2010 and since. So the Castros would like to use Pope Francis to cement their hold on the Cuban people who want change.
That's right. Yeah. Thus, the title of your article had the Cuban cauldron. There is definitely some places where there could be that we could get burned as a church. You know, we have just 2 minutes before we close here, and Pope Francis has had a lot of success already in negotiations with Cuba. Why is it? Is it Pope Francis himself? Is it the moment? Why has there been this great ability for Francis and his the Holy See to negotiate? The Holy See to negotiate at this moment.
Well, Janet, the negotiations between the United States and the Castros were already in the works for a long time and going nowhere when the Vatican got involved. The two sides, the U.S. and Cuba, could not trust each other enough to conclude the deal. So Pope Francis served to guarantee that both sides would hold up their end of the bargain. He came in like an essential referee who got two teams that hated each other onto the field and then assured them that rules would be applied to both sides so that they could both play and conclude the game. It is his moral authority that served to make the deal possible.
Yes. Yes, well, we certainly pray that that moral authority, that this true pastoral mission is what reigns during this upcoming visit. And Victor, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about this important moment in the life of the church.
Thank you, Janet.
When we return, Pope Francis comes to the United States for the first time, and he meets with the crowds at the World Meeting of Families. The growing excitement is so thick, it can be cut with a knife. What do you think? Will the Pope come up with impromptu catchphrases? Janetta Mello talks to writer Diana Bonglon, and that's just minutes away. This is Elena Rodriguez on Register Radio. Stay tuned to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
In today's world, we have all kinds of misinformation and even disinformation about Christianity, Catholicism, and religion in general. And we need a source that is going to give us direct quotations and authentic news about what is going on in the church, so we know what the Pope really said and not what the media said he said. We need to know what the Synod is doing, what the encyclicals mean, in order to be able to give the facts of our faith. For that reason, we need the National Catholic Register, which will give us the good news along with the hard news of our world today. And in that way, we can have what we need to go out to our world and give them the good news of Jesus Christ.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Along with Janetta Mello and Diana Bonglon, I'm Elena Rodriguez, sitting in this week for Tom Price. So the excitement is bubbling up in Philadelphia for the long-awaited World Meeting of Families and the papal visit. We have Diana Von Glahn with us to give us some insights, and she's coming to us right from the City of Brotherly Love. Diana Von Glahn is the creative force behind the Faithful Traveler travel series for television and the web, exploring Catholic shrines and places of pilgrimages around the world. She is the Faithful Traveler's writer, host, second camera person, editor, and producer. Boy, she's a busy bee. And the Register's editor-in-chief, Jeanette DeMello, is here to lead the conversation. Jeanette?
Diana, it's great to have you on Register Radio this week. We are in the final stretch before Pope Francis arrives in Philadelphia a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
And Philadelphia, I imagine, is just at the height of excitement. Can you describe what's going on in Philly these days?
Oh, gosh. It feels like we've been preparing for this forever. And but, yeah, it's just around the corner. And I think people are, you know, either planning on getting out of town or, you know, sticking around and seeing what the excitement is and, you know, how things go. I've been in Philadelphia for about 12 years and I've never experienced anything like this. I know that the, you know, Pope St. John Paul II was here back when I was like six. So,
yeah.
But I was in San Diego at the time. So, you know, I wasn't here for that. But, you know, I think everybody's just kind of like, they don't know what to expect. Some people are excited. Some people are scared, you know.
Right.
So it's really just lots of anticipation, you know, like we're just kind of like a bow that's ready to just be plucked.
I bet. I mean, it really has been. It's been more than 3 years, really, since they knew it was going to be in Philly. Now, there may not have been major announcements. So there's been a lot of time for Philadelphia to prepare for this. Of course, the other locations were added on after New York and Washington, D.C. But
right.
Philly really has had a lot of time to get excited. And I've seen, newscasts and news stories about the Pope paraphernalia, the bobblehead mm-hmm. popes, and all of that kind of thing. Is it literally on every street corner in the city center?
Oh my gosh, totally. The other day I went to the grocery store, and I live in the suburbs, so I'm not even in Center City, which is downtown. I went to the grocery store, and there were shirts that was like, you know, keep calm and love the Pope or something. And I was like, I pointed out to my husband, I was like, the whole world is Catholic right now.
And it's yes, absolutely.
It's kind of cool. I mean, it feels... It's actually kind of funny, you know, it's like as a Catholic, you at first you kind of feel like this sense of like, you know, greedy, like, no, this is mine. And then you're just kind of like, wait a minute, this is cool. Everybody thinks
yeah.
this is cool right now. And so it's like you kind of have to just let it go and share.
That's absolutely.
Share the
yeah.
The world.
Yeah. He's like, he's my Holy Father, but you're right.
Yeah.
He is the Holy Father to everyone at this moment in time. So that's a great perspective to have. Now, the latest numbers in terms of the estimates for people that will be there for the papal visit is quite high. I mean, it's around a million, more than a million.
Yeah.
And as you said, there's been a lot of confusion as to whether or not people will come. But I tell you what, I tried to register my husband for the World Meeting of Family, which is right before the papal visit
right.
next week. And I went 2 days before the registration was supposed to close, and it had already closed. And that's because they reached the maximum number, about 16,000
wow.
People were registered for the World Meeting of Families. And that's the largest number they've ever had. In fact, it is twice the number that they had in Milan for the last one. So I do expect that people will come out of the woodwork for the papal visit.
That's awesome.
Now, yeah, I think it will be awesome. So I'll be there myself, and I know I've got an idea of the events that I'm looking forward to, but let's talk a little bit about what the Pope will see when he's there. He's going to the Basilica of St. Peter's and Paul,
mm-hmm.
And he will also go to the seminary, that's St. Mm-hmm. Charles Borromeo Seminary,
right.
Independence Hall,
mm-hmm.
Correctional facility
yep.
where he will meet prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And then two very, very big events, the Festival of Families and the Papal Mass, which are the events that are closing the World Meeting of Family.
Right.
Now, of all of these events, are there any that you are particularly looking forward to since you're living there in Philly right now?
Well, I mean, a lot of the things that the Holy Father is going to be doing, I'm not even invited to. Like, a lot of people aren't invited to, you know. So obviously we're not going to be able to go when he goes to visit the prisoners, or, you know, even at the seminary. Although I don't live too far away from the seminary, but the two that I plan on attending are the Festival of Families and the Mass. Unfortunately, because I did register to the World Meeting of Families Congress, they gave everybody who registered a ticket to both of those, which I was just like, phew, you know?
Right.
Otherwise, I would have just been, I mean, you know, you don't need a ticket. This is a big thing that people are confused about. You don't need a ticket to go to the Mass, and you don't need a ticket to go to the Festival of Families. However, having a ticket, I believe, gets you in closer somewhere.
Absolutely.
Or something like that. So,
that's right.
So that's the only thing. But I'm excited about those two things, especially because they keep announcing all these new people that are going to be involved. And one of my favorite people, and I cannot call him anything other than Marky Mark. I love Mark Wahlberg. He used to
that's
be Marky
right.
Mark for those of us who, you know, back in the day. But he's going to be
right.
like the MC of the Festival of Families. And I just think he's adorable. So that'll be fun.
Yes, that was one of the latest announcements. But another announcement, I think, was made a couple weeks ago, which you blogged about for the Register, were the papal parades. What's going on with the papal parades?
Oh, my gosh, that is going to be so awesome. Yes, the parades. The great thing about the parade is that it's going to give so many more people an opportunity to see the Pope. And I think that's the biggest thing that people are concerned about is, you know, they're going to come down, there are going to be so many people, it's going to be hard, and it won't be worth it to them if they don't even get to see him, you know.
That's right.
But the cool thing is that they will get to see him because of these parades. He's going to be, you know, going down. And, you know, the thing with the Holy Father is you don't know what he's going to do. You know, I mean, he stops, he jumps out of the car. I mean, I'm sure his security service is probably like having a heart attack all the time, you know,
it's
but
true.
So you never know what he's going to do. And, the papal parades are going to be exciting. I don't know if they have actually announced the route of the second parade. I remember they announced the first one when they first announced it, but yeah, they might still be getting that ready.
That's right. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to most, because I don't know if I'll get into one of the other big events, but I do know that I'll get along that parade route just to see him interact. That's always a beautiful sign, as you said. But, you know, the other place I'm really looking forward, I won't be there up close and personal, but the Register will have Steve Greidanis at the seminary. And
oh, awesome.
Steve Greidanis is one of our bloggers, and he attended that seminary, so he was really happy to go to his alma mater.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yes, and the last time the Pope visited Philadelphia, so this was Saint John Paul II, back in 79, as you mentioned earlier, he went to the seminary and he met seminarians, and apparently was a very rowdy greeting, a wonderful event of these seminarians getting to meet the shepherd, you know, the vicar of Christ. So I'm expecting that to be a very picturesque and beautiful moment, which Steve will be covering. So
there's a choir of some of the seminarians that they're going to be singing a song to the Holy Father. And the seminary is beautiful, too. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
It's recently seen an increase in numbers as well. So that's just a wonderful fact about St. Charles Borromeo Seminary, is an increase in vocations.
Nice.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio, and I'm speaking to Diana von Glahn, who is covering World Meeting of Families and the papal visit for the Register and also for the Faithful Traveler. Diana, thank you so much again for being here. And I wanted to bring up what you are doing aside from your work with the Register. You know, you live there in Philadelphia, and you know all of the sites around Philadelphia. So part of this week, you won't even be focused on necessarily the Pope's visit, but you'll be focused on showing people around the city. What are you going to see?
Well, for those who are Philadelphia has 5 shrines in the Archdiocese, and we're so proud of them. We filmed some of them for our series of Faithful Traveler, and so I'm going to be blessed to actually take a group from Knoxville, Tennessee, to see two of the four local shrines.
Mm-hmm.
We have the National Shrine of St. John Nepomucene Newman, who was our bishop And his body is here. And so that's in Center City. And then we also have the St. Rita of Kasha Shrine in South Philadelphia. Now, her body is not here. But there's going to be another saint's body there. St. Maria Goretti is going to be there on Wednesday. So I'm really excited about that. And then we have the two other local shrines are the St. Catherine Drexel Shrine, which is in Bensalem, which is a like a suburb of Philadelphia. And she's obviously a Philadelphia native. And then we have the Miraculous Metal Shrine, which is also in the suburbs, but not too far away. And then a little further afield in Doylestown is the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, which is amazing. So I'm just going to be able to take people to two. Mm-hmm. But I'm encouraging people to visit as many as they can. And actually, we filmed some video clips of some of the other sacred sites here in Philadelphia, like Old St. Joseph's Catholic Church, which was the first Catholic church here in the city, and, St. John the Evangelist Church, which is it was our first cathedral, and actually it was the second cathedral, and St. Maria Goretti is going to be there too. So there are so many. I mean, there is an unending list of amazing sacred sites here in Philadelphia, and you know, I'm doing what I can to encourage people to visit them as much as they can as well.
I was so surprised by the list of things on the World Meeting of Family website, which is worldmeeting2015.org. There is a whole list of things going on outside of the World Meeting of Families, and a lot of the things are talks that are going on at some of these churches that you've mentioned and other churches around the city, talks by people like Scott Hahn or even Cardinal Mueller, I saw, was coming in from the Vatican, from the Congregation for Doctrine of the Faith, and they're speaking at all of these sites throughout the city. I was also impressed there is Eucharistic adoration during the World Meeting 24/7, and that is just a beautiful, beautiful thing that's going on. Diana, it's great to have you on Register Radio this week.
And thank you both, Diana Von Glahn and Jeanette DeMello. You can read more about the research by Victor Gaetan and Diana Von Glahn on ncregister.com. And hey, you can also listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen, and you can even download the show. On behalf of Jeanette DeMello, Diana Von Glahn, and Victor Gaetan, and all of us here at The Register and at EWTN Radio, thank you for joining us. This is Elena Rodriguez, and we will be here again next week, coming to you from the World Meeting of Families. So be sure to tune in to Register Radio.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.